Hi, my name is Lynn Bernstam. I am the director of UCTV. I want to thank you for inviting me to join you today. I'm going to talk to you about UCTV, how it came to be, what it's doing now, and where it's heading in the future. So first, we've got to go back to 1993. Most of us are old enough to remember that, I'm sure. Cable was exploding. There were hundreds of channels. You could watch TV live, or you could put one of those VHS tapes in the machine, or you could go to Blockbuster to rent a movie and watch it at home. So already things had come a long way from three networks broadcasting from New York with no choice about when you were going to watch anything. So the broadcast spectrum was also filling up, and the last few slots were made available in San Diego for low-power television. And when UCSD was offered the opportunity to build a regional broadcast station, the chancellor figured it was a great way to fulfill the public service part of the University of California's mission. So we started extending the resources of the university to the San Diego region. So we were getting out of the ivory tower and bringing knowledge to people through this public serving media. So early on, it was decided that it was not going to be another PBS station, and it was not going to be distance learning classes, and it was deliberately decided that it would not be run by any one academic department or by campus communications. So it was given some autonomy journalistically to make decisions about what to cover and how, and it aimed to serve the community. So it started a little bit more like a C-SPAN for the university. It was unmediated. We let the professors talk and debate, and we quickly added things like concerts, documentaries, poetry readings, basically covered everything, all subject areas that were going on. But the station really was charting new waters. There really wasn't anything quite like it. There were other university stations, but some of them were secondary PBS stations. Other of them were run by students, for students, which we definitely were not. And some of them just did distance learning back when that was the way that that happened. So we were partially funded, but we had to pursue underwriting for programs, which kept us pretty closely tied to the academic side of the university, since that is generally where the funds were coming from through the partnerships that we were forming. So if we fast forward to 2000, the UCSD Chancellor, Richard Atkinson, had become the president of the University of California, and he knew firsthand that UCSD TV worked, and he wanted to take that model and apply it throughout the system, but he knew that copying UCSD TV nine times over would be too expensive and really not at all efficient. So instead, one of his first presidential initiatives created UCTV as a network for the university. It was based in San Diego on the UCSD campus because all that broadcast infrastructure and know-how was already in place. So rather than building a whole new entity, he added to what already existed at UCSD. So with the goal of offering all kinds of programming from a variety of perspectives throughout the system, we set to work finding and surfacing content from throughout the system. Then we called it getting tapes off shelves. And that evolved to getting files off an individual's computer, but always with the same goal, surfacing great content from throughout UC that was often left languishing. So UCTV was pushed into existence in part by the FCC threatening the DBS carriers, DISH and DirecTV. They had fought the 1993 Cable Act for years and finally were forced to set aside 4% of their spectrum for what was called public interest programming. And if they didn't start doing that, they were going to start getting fined. So UCTV was chosen to go on the DISH network, and we went live 1 month after being granted the channel because they were in a hurry to get us up so that they wouldn't start getting fined. Conveniently enough, that fell from mid-December to mid-January, but we got it done, and that immediately put the University of California in 3 million homes across the country. It's a good thing UCTV was located on the San Diego campus because we literally parked a satellite uplink truck outside our master control, ran cabling for the new channel. It was a different lineup, so it had a different feed. And we went live while we built out the permanent uplink, which entailed repurposing a dish on a building on campus that was no longer being used. So while we did that, we also were aggressively pursuing cable carriage around California, primarily in regions around the UC campuses. So we're non-commercial, so there's no revenue for us in cable, but also not much expense. And we believe in the value of having UCTV in homes around the state. So We now have presence in over 4 million homes in California. Some are standalone channels, some are shared channels, but all offer really good visibility. I should say here that when UCTV started, the Office of the President provided annual support of about $1.2 million, covering the cost of the satellite delivery of our signal. That's how we got to the Dish Network, which was in Wyoming, and the cablehead ends, plus the web development team, the staff and infrastructure needed to edit, format, and distribute the video material from throughout UC, and we even had some production funds to make programming, including State of Minds, which was a magazine series that we hosted at different campuses each quarter. We also could help support productions and add funds to up production values, so adding a camera or adding some lighting or that sort of thing. So while we were broadcasting 24/7, we were early adopters of putting video online. Perhaps we saw the future, but also we were in the right place at the right time. In 1999, so pre-UCTV, we got a grant from Intel for a three-month pilot program to demonstrate how technology could facilitate delivery of educational and informational content over the Internet. So really, we got video online ahead of Google. But they caught up pretty quickly. In 2005, they came to us because they decided they wanted to improve their search engine service by making video available for free downloading and viewing. Then they were looking for a partner that had a lot of video content so that they could experiment with it. And our archive then was about 2,000 videos. This slide here that I'm showing you was their presentation to us, asking to put our videos on their servers so they could figure out how to make them findable. So we're quite nimble as an organization, and we were able to respond quickly to this opportunity and others. So we agreed to this partnership, of course. It's kind of a no-brainer on our end, and got in very early in their search algorithms. A year or so later, Google bought YouTube, so our programming migrated there. We were one of the first EDU partners they had, and we realized that online video distribution was going to be a big part of our future. And that gave us access to much larger audiences than TV alone and was a great addition to our mission to distribute as widely as possible. So our part of the UC mission clearly is on the public service side, which we took as our mandate to surface the hidden gems in academia. Here's an example. Robert Lustig gave a talk at UC San Francisco in 2009 called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. And in it, Dr. Lustig describes the damage caused by sugary foods and points to fructose as the cornerstone of the obesity epidemic in the United States. We broadcast and posted it in July 2009, and since then it's had over 6.4 million views on YouTube alone. And it's spawned lots of documentaries and television programs around the world, including on CBS's flagship program 60 Minutes, the BBC documentaries, New York Times articles. So that one effort really went far and wide. But then the crash. 2008 arrived, and UCTV took a major budget hit. And in 2010, OP put us on what they called their glide path to zero. It sounds much more gentle than it was, because it was more like going over a cliff than a leisurely glide. So we went from that $1.2 million annually in 2010 to zero in 2013. So we changed signal delivery. We went off the satellite, and we went to video over IP, which conveniently enough in that time had gotten robust enough to actually deliver a good broadcast signal. We trimmed the staff. We got much more aggressive about our online distribution. So we're pushing programs on other new platforms for viewing on demand, things like Roku and Amazon and iTunes. And then YouTube contacted us with a proposition. So our large audience, by EDU standards, had attracted their interest, and they had a new idea, what they called original content channels. So they were experimenting to see how much they could be like TV. They did something similar to the upfronts, and they wanted to make it easier for organizations to make content and for viewers to find it. So they supported certain YouTube makers. And they offered us funding to develop one of these channels, which we called UCTV Prime. UC was the only university to get one of these channels, and we took the money happily. It was very good timing, and we used it to expand how we created content. So our whole history had been about producing programs that were for television. which is very time aware. Content has to fit into 30, 60, occasionally 90-minute slots. But online, of course, show lengths didn't matter, which was actually quite freeing. We had the funding and we had the venue, so we began creating these shorter segments, and they were episodic series. They might have had four or five, some had eight or nine different segments that we would release one a week. Some of them we produced ourselves, and some we contracted out to other UC partners because we could pass through some of this YouTube funding. There were only two problems with this. We only had 1 year of funding, and they had limited the distribution by contract to being only on YouTube. And we had another competing online distributor that was really coming into its own, and that was the iTunes in the video realm. And so they offer our programming in both video and audio. And it became clear to us that it wasn't really in our interest to invest in making programs exclusively for YouTube when others were out there and hungry for our content. So when YouTube largely abandoned their original content channels experiment, we doubled down on our iTunes distribution. We created thematic feeds that iTunes offers as a podcast. So when we're lucky, they feature one of them in our feed, and we can tell because the numbers really spike. So we really did a lot of curating and organizing to make the content easier to surface. And using what we learned from Prime and from the popularity of our iTunes feeds, we launched the UCTV Channels Initiative. These are web-based channels developed with and funded by UC partners and hosted on the homepage of UCTV. So each channel features a portfolio of programming and other content curated, in this case, around our partners' research interests. And some are original productions or original videos that we make with our partners, and others we aggregate and curate from other sources. So we have six now, Career Brain Library, Public Policy, STEAM, and the newest one, the Climate Solutions Channel. Two more are funded and launching soon, one on computer science and one from UC Irvine, which as of yet doesn't have a name. And as I said, each of these channels has a permanent place on our homepage, which is helpful because the homepage itself receives about 1.5 million views per month. And by the way, the videos in our archive are averaging about 8 million hits a month, and there are over 7,000 of them now in our library. So we also measure our growth in reach by the increase that we see in the subscriptions to the UCTV YouTube channel. So we now have over 250,000 subscribers. It's hard just to keep up with this chart because we add about 1,000 a week. There are another 30,000 subscribers on the Prime YouTube channel, not reflected in this chart. And, of course, there are many UC channels on YouTube. Every campus has one. Some have more than one. Many departments and schools will have a YouTube channel. But since this is really our main focus, you can see how we compare to the other public-facing UC YouTube channels. So Berkeley Events, you can see, is the next in line, has about 44,000. Again, these are all public-facing sites, so they're not classes. So they're all things that are intended for the public. And you can see that as you go down, the subscribers become almost negligible as you go down the list. So while we're reaching California, and that's really important to us, so is getting as far and wide as we can. So more than half of the unique IP address visitors are from outside the United States, as you can see here. It's interesting. We look at this, and so of course there's a big other, and that's always not quite clear exactly what that is, but that we know that we're getting to other countries and other places, and we find that a welcome too. So let me go back to the theme channels for a second. I want to talk a little bit about the partnerships that make them possible. So everything we produce for the channels also airs on UCTV, but the projects are developed around the sponsoring entity's strategic goals, which in most cases are about featuring their faculty or their research specialties. So let me give you a couple examples. The theme channel, this is aggregated around the theme of including arts in a traditional science, tech, technology, engineering, and math, typical STEM, and you add A and you get STEAM. Our UC partner is a K-16 program on a campus. This one got its start with funding from a company, so it's a little bit different than some of the others. So we approached Qualcomm, which is local here in San Diego, because they'd already demonstrated an interest in STEAM. They have what they call the Think-A-Bit Lab. It's a makerspace in the Qualcomm offices in San Diego for middle school students throughout the region. So we went to them with a plan to do a story on Think-A-Bit and thought if they liked that, they would fund a channel. And it worked, and they did. So we're moved along with that, and we do lots of special projects all over the state with having to do with the notion of STEM and arts in STEM, so quite broadly defined. The next one is Brain Channel. So Dr. William Mobley, who's the chair of neurosciences at UC San Diego, had a kind of similar experience to Dr. Lustig. He gave a talk on Alzheimer's that we started airing in 2012, and it's been accessed more than 4.5 million times, mostly on the Brain feed on iTunes, which is one of our most popular feeds. Anytime we make programs that have to do with the brain or with neurology, we find their hit counts go way up. So the neurosciences department funds this channel, which is primarily interviews with faculty about their work and researchers, and we organize them by topic since most people are searching for that, for a topic, rather than a name or even an institution. So we are always trying to lead with the thing that is the attractor. In this case, it's Alzheimer's, or it could be motion disorders or something else to do with the brain. And we get to the fact that it's UCSD and it's neurosciences once they are in there looking at the content that was of interest to them. One other is the UC Public Policy Channel. This one's funded by the Goldman School at Berkeley. They wanted to raise their national and international profile as the top-ranked public policy analysis school in the country. You know, they're competing with the Kennedy School at Harvard and with the Wilson School at Princeton and other big-name schools on the East Coast. So we developed a channel that features interviews and public talks and commentaries, panel discussions, just about everything, and it showcases the Goldman School as this academic powerhouse. So we shoot a lot of this on location at Berkeley. We send a producer, and we use the local UC Berkeley video production crew to do the actual production. Then we bring the footage back for editing and distribution. And there, as you can see, this is in their building, and it makes a pretty nice television set. So we enjoy shooting up there. So our most recent addition is this one, which is the UC Climate Solutions Channel. It's funded by the Office of the President, and it launched last month, so in April. So it's really quite new. It showcases the work across the system in climate change. We wanted to show contributions from all the campuses, so we're very mindful not just to show what happens at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, even though they are the home to some of the most famous climate scientists in the world. We really want to present programming from across disciplines and across the system in research and policy and sometimes even the arts. So another source of revenue for us and of making programming is through foundation grants. So in this case, philanthropists such as the Ford Foundation. This was an interesting project that we did a few months ago. UCTV got a grant to do a video series, again, shorter segments as a companion to a book. It featured UCSD researchers on HIV in Tijuana. Lots of field production in Tijuana, plus studio interviews. All the researchers that were featured here are UC San Diego employees. We also pursue and welcome media collaboration. So we have a new project that's in-house right now that is with the PBS NewsHour, Science Magazine, BuzzFeed, and it's funded by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. This one's about a UCSF faculty, Diane Havler, and her work on ending AIDS, focusing on her Getting to Zero project in San Francisco and on her work in Africa. So we're sharing footage with these other organizations. We're recording some of our own, And each one of us will create a distinct final product. What's so great is that there are correspondents in Africa, so we're not going to Africa, but we get the benefit of the footage from Africa. We're doing a lot of the production in San Francisco, and then we're sharing that with our other partners. All of this will be online before the International AIDS Conference in Durban, South Africa in July. So we're doing that as we speak, practically. Looking to the future, I think the trends that we see are more dissemination on mobile devices. Online video is a huge growth area for media entities such as Facebook. We're constantly on the lookout for new ways to get content out. We're going to continue to make shorter stories, and they're going to grow as the channels grow, even as the longer form captures what we call capturing, which is basically what we do when we get video of an event that happened on a campus that so those continue, and those are certainly the longer form ones, but we're adding more and more of these shorter standalone pieces. Sometimes they're episodic, so there'll be several, and sometimes they're just one short piece. So it goes hand in hand with visually creating more visually compelling stories. So we're using more animation, more visualization of data, using the constantly expanding tools to tell stories for different audiences. So we're adding channels. We have two more in development with the aim of getting to 10. And then who knows what will come. Things are always changing in this world, but we think we'll be ready, and we're going to take advantage of any opportunities that come our way. That was a quick overview. I hope I didn't go too fast, and welcome to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I have a question about the potential channel coming from UC Irvine. I'm not quite sure. Did you mention what it's going to be about yet?
They would like to make short videos that feature faculty researchers. A lot of them, I think, will be from the social sciences. So something interesting that you're doing. One of the examples they gave us is, what hip-hop has to say about our culture. And they're looking to tie in these kinds of TED-type talks with an ability for the public to contribute in sort of a crowd-funded way to research.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be different. Each channel is so different from the other, which is, I think, what makes them kind of attractive. And so this one, again, is rather different from the other one. So that's what we're looking for from Irvine, probably launching in September.
I'll definitely keep my eye out for it.
Okay.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much, Lynn, for this great webinar. I will stop recording now. And if anyone else has questions about UCTV in the future, you could contact Lynn or you could email me about webinars.
Thank you.